world. What a world, what a world. It is your boy, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you with philanthropy in focus, baby. Well, that's not the whole name, but the baby I threw in at the end. But philanthropy in focus. All right, a couple things we got to get out of the way, right out of the way, really quick before we get into this conversation with my guest today. First things first, last night, yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening, sometime like that, I was out at Captain Bill's in Bayshore. Shout out to Yolanda Romano-Gross and the team at Options for Community Living. I'm going to share this if you're watching and you see this. Death of a Gangster, September 26th. Your boy, the nonprofit sector connector, will be the honoree at this event. September 26th at the Bayview House at Captain Bill's, where we did some videos yesterday. We were checking out the place. You'll see if you go to Options for Community Living, click on events and look for the Mafia Murder Mystery event. You'll see Tommy D there, the nonprofit sector connector. I am the honoree. I'm excited about that. As I've been saying for a long time, if you watch any gangster or mafia movies, all I'm hoping is that I don't get whacked that night. All right. But again, somebody is going to die because it is a murder mystery thing, but it's just pretend, everybody. It's just the game. If you are anywhere near Suffolk County, Long Island, you should be there. It's going to be a party. It's not your typical nonprofit gala. This is going to be a party. You get dressed up. The women dress up like with the flappers uniforms, or uniforms, costumes or whatever. You know, men, pinstripe suit, the whole thing. You know, it's going to be a fun night. There's opportunities to sponsor. There's opportunities to support Options for Community Living. If you don't know about Options, serving people experiencing homelessness, people living with HIV and AIDS, we're ending a lot of stigmas, people with different mental health issues, and a very, very important organization. Me, Yolanda, and I hung out. We did some videos, so look out for that stuff on social media. That is out of the way. Before we get into my conversation with Jennifer Hernandez, actually, pause time out. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you, Tommy? That was a great intro.
We're just getting started.
Congrats on the honoree.
I would love you to be there that night. We'll talk about it after the show, but I think there's a lot of... do you know Options, and do you know Yolanda and the team over there?
Yeah. I'm familiar with Options.
Yeah, so we'll talk about maybe a little bit of that today. One other thing before we get into what Jennifer and I are here to talk about, which is her role at ECL Vibes and the great work that they're doing, is I got to share one more thing. The finalists were just announced yesterday morning. Wednesday night, Thursday morning for the New York City Imagine Awards. And I'm going to run them through real quick for you. In the Leadership Excellence category, you got Computers for People, New York Foundation for the Arts, Saki for South Asian Survivors, and the Eagle Academy Foundation. You have in the Social Impact, we got Center for Alternative Sentencing, which employment services cases in New York City. Many folks know that. Our Children was a client of Vanguard Benefits for a long time. I know them many, many years. They do great work serving moms who are incarcerated, and when they get out, supporting them. Part of the solution, the Marcy Lab School, that's all in that category, social impact. We get into the diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility category. You got New York City Urban Debate League, NY PACE, which is New York Professional Advisors for Community Entrepreneurs, Rise and Read of Greater New York, and the Special Olympics of New York. Then you got the Claire Friedlander Family Foundation Arts and Culture Award. Now, I will tell you this. I've had Omnium Circus on this show. They're a finalist. I love that organization. Building Beats, I'm fired up about hanging out with them. They teach young people how to DJ, and I want to learn how to DJ, and I'm not a young person, although I feel like one. That they were, I got to do their interview for the follow-up, and they'll be coming on the show soon. Runway of Dreams Foundation, the Poetry Society of New York, and these other ones, man, I just don't know you all yet, but I look forward to meeting you at the event and getting you on the show, possibly. Anthos Home, this is innovation. Anthos Home, New York Langone Health, the Brave House, met some folks from the Brave House last year's New York City Imagine Awards, and then Wellness in the Schools is another organization in the innovation category. And we round it out with the Rising Star, which out here on Long Island, Vanguard Benefits manages and sponsors the Rising Star. In New York City, it's my friends over at YPTC, your part-time controllers. So in the Rising Star category, you got Broadway Community, City Living NY, Single Stop, and the Chick Mission. We will learn all about this stuff when we get together at the New York City Imagine Awards. If you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, well, I don't know. Send me an email, TommyD@philanthropyandfocus.com, or go to the website, nycimagineawards.org. I've been on the committee for the Long Island Imagine Awards for the last 8-9 years. We've been a sponsor for just as long, I think, Vanguard Benefits. And since the inception of the New York City Imagine Awards, I have been on that committee as well. We're looking for more folks to join those committees. If that's something you're interested in, reach out to me, TommyD@philanthropyandfocus.com, or hit me up on the Instagram, TommyD.NYC, or the Nonprofit Sector Connector on Instagram, whatever. You'll find me. Just Google Tommy D. well, probably my whole name, DIMISA, but we don't tell everybody all that. All right, Jennifer, let's get into this. So I want to tell you something. So you are the leader of, well, I'm not telling you that, you knew that, of ECLI Vibes, but what I don't know if you remember, and I might have told you this a couple months ago when I reached out, the original way that you and I connected was my buddy Ken Cerini, when it wasn't ECL Vibes, it was the Empowerment Collaborative of Long Island. So this is like COVID era, I remember, because I remember I was in the attic. And before that, I wasn't in the attic. And now I'm not in the attic as much. But back then, I know for sure I was in the attic. I'm very like strange with like spatial stuff. Like I remember the desk was facing that way when we talked on the phone one day. That's weird, but I remember it. That was the organization, and Ken had connected us. I don't know if you do work with Cerini and Associates, if that's why, but he had connected us in relation to what I do professionally, Vanguard Benefits, the employee benefits agency that we run with my partners and I. That's how we connected. So I want to get into the story though, because that organization has certainly evolved and I guess merged, and we'll talk about all of how that happened. But before we do any of that, we say, who the heck is Jennifer Hernandez? What is your story? Take us down that. Take us down your path. How do you get to the nonprofit sector? I know every one of my guests that comes on this show has a story of how they got where they are now, and I'd like to hear your story if you could take us there.
Oh, sure. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. It really is. I look back now at how it all started, all the hard work that went behind everything, all the uncertainty, all the vulnerability, the mindsets that I was in back then opposed to now. And I go, wow, holy cow, how much has changed? How much I've grown. It was just it's an extraordinary experience, life just itself, to be very honest, just it's an extraordinary experience. And I've learned how to value every second of it now, which wasn't the case when we first started. But anyway, so I'll go to the beginning. I am a mother. I am a wife first, and I have my two beautiful kids. I was born and raised here on Long Island, Suffolk County specifically, by my parents who immigrated from Argentina and Ecuador and met at a party in Queens. 9 months later, they were married. A year later, they had me. And then a year and a half after that, they had my sister.
And
So,
time out. So we got to shout out Queens. Definitely, not that the boroughs care so much, but definitely my favorite borough, by the way. Let's go Mets. Didn't know Queens started the story, but I am a Mets fan. Are you a baseball fan? Do you care?
my husband is a huge Mets fan. He is also from Queens.
What's his name?
Gabriel.
Gabriel, shout out. Let's go Mets, baby. My son texted me last night. We got a bunch of like different players just recently. My son, that my kids and my wife are away traveling, but whatever. They're texting me, keeping me up to date. Because when you're the nonprofit sector connector, sometimes you can't even check out the highlights and see what's going on. So, Gabriel, let's go Mets. We got ourselves a team. We got ourselves an ownership team for sure. We're pretty excited about Uncle Steve Cohen and that whole thing. And Tia Alex, by the way, Jennifer, Tia Alex, which is Steve Cohen's wife, she runs the Amazing Mets Foundation. I met their son, Josh, who's great. So very, very, very cool. Yeah. So we should talk about that because there's probably some connects with ECLI Vibes, and we'll get into that. All right.
Oh
So
my goodness, yeah.
Argentina, and I forgot to write down Argentina,
Argentina and Ecuador. So my
Ecuador,
mom's
and
Ecuadorian, my dad is Argentinian.
got it. Got it. I love that. I love it. All right. So I keyed in on some of the stuff you said, and I don't want to take you off track, but I keyed in on growth and evolution. My business partner and I, one of my partners and I, are into like reading and listen, really more audible, listening to books. And we're listening to something called 10X is easier than 2X. And we have to, and as we evolve, the 80-20 principle, sometimes we got to get like rid of like 80% of like who the heck we are to focus in on really where the value is, both from a professional perspective and as an individual. So what I really keyed in on is what you were saying is how like you kind of look back and like you didn't say this, but I heard this, like it's almost like you're that person that you might have been, like you're totally different. Like, and I know that personally, right? Same.
Completely different. And you're blowing my mind right now with the 80-20 because yesterday we had our state of the agency meeting. We do this once a quarter, and I literally the entire meeting was around 80-20. tuning out 80% of the things that don't matter and focusing on the 20% of the things that do. And how do we do that? That was literally the state of the agency.
Oh, so I love that. I'm sorry I missed it, but I'm happy to hear about it. But I'll tell you this. Like, there's this thing, there's like a lot of memes, right? But there was this one video where this guy is talking about like the noise versus the signal, right? And
yes.
And apparently, Apple, Steve
yep.
Jobs. Steve Jobs was able to, like, there's this video where Mr. Wonderful from, you know, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank is saying how he used to do a lot of work with Jobs back in the day. And Jobs was able to, like, tune out, like, so much. But not everything, right? He got stuck, apparently, according to Mr. Wonderful, got stuck in some noise. A guy who doesn't deal with noise at all, apparently, is Elon. I don't know if that's so true because he gets himself in all these battles and stuff online, I noticed. But whatever, the story is... So I try that he does not deal with noise. And I guess it relates to business wise. Just something so inconsequential happened the other day to me, right? And actually it was like two different things I could key in on business wise. And they were all noise. Noise that honestly, Jennifer, and everybody listening, I should not be getting worried about that noise. Like, okay, great. Fix that. I have to go back to signal over here, right? As it related to my business. And the more we can focus in on just signal and either forget about the noise or delegate that noise to somebody else who should be dealing with that noise so we could be all signal, right? And that's to me, like, I don't know this stuff in and out, but like that to me is like that 80-20. Yep. The majority in the case of me from a business perspective, Vanguard Benefits, the majority of relationships that I would say it's really the minority of the relationships that I have really will drive the growth of our business, right? As agencies, as nonprofits, probably that those 20% or whatever it is, 15, 18%, 22% of the relationships we have are really going to drive the donations, the partnerships, the strategic alliances, right? So we got to focus in and double and triple and quadruple down on that stuff. It's kind of, it's a little bit painful, right? Because it's growth.
For sure.
And we got now like, it's like, well, I don't really want to get rid of these folks or, you know, but there's different ways to do that. So that's something that came up of your state of the agency. How cool is that?
It's crazy. You blew my mind when you said it. And I know exactly the clip that you're talking about because it sent me down a rabbit hole, which, you know, inspired the state of the agency because it's so clear that you need to put in those daily buffers to make sure that there's like these guardrails that, you know, they safeguard you from going too far one way or too far the other way, because you can have all these great ideas, but if you don't put in the time to actually execute on them, nothing's ever going to get done. And if you're always chasing those dopamine hits of just checking things off of your list, then again, you know, you're making yourself feel good, but you're not moving the needle. So you can look really busy and not be doing anything.
We are going to be great friends because I know a little bit about chasing dopamine hits and you know, like, oh, I did that big freaking deal. What was that worth? Like, either you didn't need to do that or somebody else could have done that. Yeah,
exactly.
I love that. And I have this thing about, you know, and it's part of the ADHD. There's so many wonderful parts of the ADHD brain. And then there's some challenging parts. And one of the challenging parts is like perseveration and getting like caught on stupid things and just like... And I realized I got to like cut that stuff. And this is like something that happened this week where I could have got stuck on it. And I was like, okay, fix that. I'm going to move on and go back to where I was. And that was very like, that's growth, right? That's something that like, you know, a long time ago, like last Tuesday, I might've get stuck on that. Right. But this week I didn't get stuck on that. And that to me, and you know, I tell everybody, you know, that I meet with my therapist, you know, shout out to hashtag ending the stigma together. It's all about normalizing this stuff about, you know, talking about these things. And my therapist is awesome. I love him. And it's also, he's also like a coach. Cause like, I know what the heck I need, but he's a guy who I can play ideas off of him. And I utilize him as all this stuff. Gang, therapy's freaking great. You should check it out. So
it absolutely is. I love what you just said though, about, you know, what it is that you need.
Right.
And that is center of our work here at ECLI Vibes. We are client centered. We don't tell folks what they need. Yeah. They come in, they let us know where they're at, and we can help organize and you know, build structure and sort of kind of sift through all these different things that they have going on because they know what they need. And then we sort of help them figure out what comes first, prioritize that. And I mean, it's such a big deal.
We're going to get into all that. I mean, but what other way is there than meeting people where they are and helping them with what they know they need? And because how arrogant would it be by any of us to assume we could fix the other person's situation when they know where they're at? We need to empower them, huh? We need to support them and we need to resource them, bring them resources and help them level up, which we're going to get into all that. I totally threw you off. Gabriel and the Mets took us in a total, talk about it, talk about ADHD, but took us in a totally different direction. So, Queens, did you grow up at all in Queens, or they were from Queens and you ended up growing up out on Long Island?
No, I grew up out on Long Island. So I was actually I was born in Stony Brook Hospital,
Okay.
and my parents had moved out to Long Island, and we lived in a couple different places when I was very little. I hardly remember that. But my dad was a chef, so he was very close with the folks over at Gurney's. So
Oh.
like we knew like Mon the Montauk area very well. I remember the beaches and like, growing up just eating all this like amazing food. And then we moved to Corum.
Okay, got it.
We lived, I literally lived in my house until I was maybe 26 years old when I moved out. So I was there for a pretty long time. And my father always ran businesses. So after that was like the early years when he was a chef over at Gurney's. But his passion's always been food. And on my mom's side, my mom's side, they all had restaurants. So El Mariachi Mexican restaurant. Right now they have La Bonita, which is in Miller Place. And it's always been a very like business savvy, restaurant specific sort of like life that I lived. My mom is an entertainer.
Is that right? Where she sings or what?
She's a singer.
Oh my
So
God.
I grew up watching her sing every Friday and Saturday at the Mexican restaurant, dressed up in full mariachi
Oh
gear.
my
Yeah.
God. Does she still perform like that?
She doesn't, but she sings. I mean, she's so talented. She's so talented. She has some records and stuff like that that she's,
Really? Oh my
yeah,
God. Oh,
that
that's
she's
so fun.
recorded.
That's so
And my
fun. We
sister as well. My sister is a singer too. She plays
got.
the drums.
Is that what she does, your sister, like as a professional?
No,
No.
actually, she works at ECLI Vibes with us
Oh,
here.
she does.
Yeah.
So we'll get
Yeah.
into the sort of family business, the entrepreneurial business continues into the nonprofit sector. How about you? Can
Absolutely.
you sing?
I cannot, but I can drop it like it's hot.
You can't. All right. So
I can dance.
can you for real? All right. So listen to me. I don't know. I get the impression we're similar a type age. Maybe you're younger than I am, but I'm not going to ask you that. You're never supposed to ask that. So, but here's the thing. I'm 47. I'll just drop it out there.
41, I'm 41.
All right. So this is like what I'm about to say, and we're supposed to go to break any second, I'm sure. But what I was going to say was lately, I've been listening to a lot of TKA in my car. Now, if
Okay.
you Long Island, little freestyle and stuff like that. Like I've been rocking out. Now, even at 47, that's a little bit before me. But like, because I was born in 78, so by the time I really knew what was going on, it was like 90, 91. And I listened to a lot of Hot 97 back then. For if you don't know, Hot 97 hip hop in New York, everybody. But I listened to Nirvana back then, so I always had this kind of like different vibes, but like freestyle music, man, there's just something about freestyle music. So when you say you could drop it like it's hot and you're dancing, that makes me go
Dance.
to like
Yeah.
that kind of place. So I'm sure we can do some cool stuff together. I like to sing sometimes. I don't know if the world likes when I sing, but sometimes I just break out into song just like that, right? My ears are perfectly positioned on my head where that sounds good. I don't know where that lands on you all, but I'm telling you, it sounds real good to me. All right. So anyway, I always thought I should have been a crooner.
We're very similar, Tommy.
We're gonna have fun
My
together.
husband can sing as well, and I'm the only one in the family who cannot. But to me, I sound fantastic.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because you just said we're very similar and you said you can't sing and you think you sing fantastic. So I feel like you're telling me I can't sing, Jennifer. On my
I
show, you can't. Oh my goodness. I love it. I love it. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna get into, we haven't gotten anywhere because that's part of my show. But you're now 3 years old living in Stony Brook. That's how far we've gotten along. So we got 38 years to go in about 40 minutes. We'll figure it out. All right, we'll come right back. We're gonna get into, how you get into the nonprofit sector, some of your background, things like that, the work you're doing. The show is called Philanthropy and Focus. My guest is Jennifer Hernandez. The organization is called ECL Vibes. Check it out, ECLVibes.org. If you're watching, I'm gonna share it for you. But if you're not, go there. Be right back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
That is right. So we could have sung or sang or sing that together, Jennifer, if you wanted to. I never know if it's sung or sang or whatever. Anyway, we could have done the, you know, we could have sang it. All right, let's move on. So I'm actually meeting the singer for my buddy Brendan Levy. We're meeting for, well, I have a Heineken Zero because I'm, you all know, 15 years sober coming up in September. So I'll have one of them Heineken Zeros. Yeah. So I'm meeting Brendan Levy from the Queens Chamber of Commerce. We're meeting later on this afternoon. And he is the singer in the band The Goods. Actually, they used to be called The Goods. They're called Damaged Goods. And they're playing at Docks. We go to see them at Docks, not tonight, but in a couple weeks in August, they'll be playing at Docks down in Island Park. We always go to see them. But Brendan and I wrote that song together. And apparently for you all, Brendan sang it or sung it, so you didn't have to hear me do that. You know what I'm saying? I'll have to figure out if it's sang or sung. Somebody on the internet is like, Tommy D, come on, it's grammar. Figure it out. All right, Jennifer. So we got so much to do today, and we're running out of time. Oh, my goodness. I feel like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. Oh,
we have a lot to talk about.
Let's talk. You talk now. All right. So we know you're from Long Island, Stony Brook, the whole thing. We know the parents are in the restaurant business, family full of entertainers. All right. So what about you? Where's your path? Where do we go?
Sure. So I ran my dad's businesses since I was literally, I started when I was 12 working for him. You know, I would stock shelves. I learned how to use the cash register, things like that. So I kind of had a basic understanding about business. And I think one thing that I really took away from that is, you know, learning how to lead. I watched my father be a leader. I watched the good things. I watched the bad things. I kind of absorbed it all in, and it definitely became part of what shaped me. I learned a lot about people because we had customers. So we had delis, we had pizzerias, we had an auto body shop at one point. He is like a serial entrepreneur. So he would kind of fix up businesses and then sell them. You know, I'd be the one helping him, you know, do the paperwork for selling a building and things. So I learned all these things.
Wow, that is awesome that you had access to that just to be able to touch and learn. And that's great.
I mean, huge. It just gave me this understanding about how money works, how people work, how relationships work, all of those things. And I don't think I really acknowledged that until later because, you know, growing up in the 90s, you were told to go to college, graduate, become a doctor or a lawyer. And, I mean, at least that's what I was told.
All right. Well, maybe they didn't want you to do the same hustle that like grinding it out or whatever, like that, the way they did it. Yeah.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But they're also, you know, it might sound like they were rigid, but they were not, super flexible. Really just like that was kind of what they sort of instilled in us to do. And long story short, I wanted to be a lawyer because my mom put a little, what did those little luggages, the attorney briefcases?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have pictures of that, me dressed up like a, like an attorney.
Like as a kid?
As a kid. My mom would dress me up. I mean, she was really just trying to like put that in my.
Well, listen, you know, talk about like vision. I mean, I'm looking at your LinkedIn, right? And it says like inspired life on LinkedIn, right? And I'm just thinking like, talk about vision. So this woman is putting you dressed up like a little attorney, right? So you're just like projecting into the future that like that's because you want, I want to have a briefcase. You know what? I always thought I could be a good attorney, but I didn't really want to go to law school, but I did want to have an ESQ behind my name. Right. That sounded cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And my father always said, you know, I didn't want to be like a lawyer. No offense to my friends who are real estate attorneys, but like, I didn't want to do that. Like, I wanted to be like a guy in the courtroom. Like, my wife watches that show Suits, you know,
yeah,
where like,
oh, such a great show.
Like, badass attorneys. Like, I wanted to do that, you know? But my dad, because my dad always said, you always have an answer to everything. Like, that was the thing. You always, like, I always had a rebuttal. Like, you know, I always had something to say, funny or not funny. I always had something to say. All right. So you did go to law school or you did not go to law school?
No, I did not. So what happened was I graduated Stony Brook University. My major was political science.
Okay.
And I really thought that I was going to go on to law school. I thought that that was the game plan. And to be really honest, even from a very young age, anything that I did, I wanted to do it well. And I knew I'd be the best at it. I knew I'd work the hardest at it. Like it, that's just something that I can't explain. It was something that was always just a part of me. It was like, I know that I could do the hard work and I could get it done and I could be, you know, at the top, whatever I do.
Where do you think that comes from? Because not everybody has that. That's a little bit of swag, confidence, whatever that is. Does that come from your parents?
It's 100% my parents.
Yeah. What do you remember about that kind of drove that?
I remember them telling me not to take any shit from anyone. You are the creator of your world. We've always got your back. So don't ever feel like you can't do something or say something because we won't have your back no matter what happens, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Whether it's wrong or right, we still will have your back and we love you.
Right. And
I really do feel like that's where the confidence came from. I would watch my mom go on stage and like sing in front of all these people. I would watch my dad make these business deals. Yeah. You know, like I really do think it was all formed from those early days.
I think it has to be because like even that you have your own children.
Yes. So
do I. And I think like sometimes I think, I'm figuring out like everything's evolution, right? I'm evolving as a father. I have two daughters and I have two sons and they range 15, 14, 12 and 10. Right. So I'm figuring. Wow. Yeah. So only every day am I trying to figure this thing out. And, you know, I think like, I'm figuring out who the heck I am, right? A lot of this journey is figuring out that and evolution, how I engage with everybody in the world, but my kids, right? So I think they see the good stuff we do, right? Like you're saying, like, you know, even if they're not listening, right? They notice it. Like you're seeing in, you know, going back 25, 30 years, whatever the case is, remembering your mom on stage and seeing your dad make these deals and stuff like that. You know, even if maybe you didn't listen to them when they were telling you to do something the right way or whatever, right? So it's all of that comes from those formative years. And in a lot of cases, in all cases, I think we're formed by what happened early on. And a lot of that is it may relate to some of the, certainly relates to some of the work you do. We all have certain levels of trauma and we're battling certain things that went on early on. So you get graduate from Stony Brook Poli Sci. You're not going to law school. You have this what I would call entrepreneurial drive. Yeah, you know, you're certainly, you know, badass as it is running your dad's business from 12. And I know this stuff because when I was 12, I started working at my uncle's deli, my uncle John. By the time I was 15, I was working in my uncle Joe's restaurant. And, you know, finally I was 18. I thought I was like the king. You know, I was tending bar like five nights a week at two different places, right? So I worked my way through the restaurant business. Wink to everybody. That's why I'm sober for 15 years, gang. Cause it was a long time. Sober was not what I was. So I think, there's so much you can learn being in that business. Did you think, all right, well, now I have this degree, maybe I can go and be running restaurants? Like, maybe I want to be an entrepreneur. What did that look like?
So what happened was I graduated and I thought I was going to go to law school. And I had a conversation with my parents and I was applying to different law schools. And my father said to me, you know, they're super expensive. And listen, we'll help you pay for it. We'll get it done. You know, we'll do what we have to do. But are you 100% sure that you want to be an attorney?
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not sure. I've never even, I don't know. You know, I think I'm sure I could be good at it, but I don't know if I like it. And
did you have any exposure to that? Like, did you ever intern somewhere, hang out with some attorneys? No. Okay. So you didn't.
And that was exactly his advice. He goes, you need to take a little time and see if you even like it, because you don't want to invest all this money into something that maybe you don't like doing. Yeah. And then you're going to feel like you have to do it. So I said, all right, sounds good. So I went to my guidance counselor and she looked at like whatever jobs were available. And she said, oh, look, I have a bilingual court advocate at a local not-for-profit agency. They support, you know, survivors of domestic violence, and you're bilingual, works out perfectly. I'll set you up. I literally went for an interview a week later. And I got a part-time bilingual advocacy position at a local not-for-profit. And I worked my way up over 4 years. You know, like I said, I really just, I've got that sort of like, I see things, I can make those connections. I like to execute. I like to organize. I like to build things out of nothing. And one of the things that was happening there at the not-for-profit was anti-human trafficking work was coming up a lot. And I really wanted to kind of go into that area because I saw that there was like nobody addressing that issue. And to make a very long story short, it ended up being that I didn't have enough room to move and do what I wanted to do because I didn't have the authority there. And I ended up leaving the organization with five other women and co-founded ECLI Vibes.
That's so, okay. So I am looking, I have, gang, you don't have the LinkedIn page that I do. I'm staring at your LinkedIn page to watch the progression where we're going here. So, so I'm hearing that entrepreneurial thing. You see the angles, you see the opportunities, but you're not in charge. So what do entrepreneurs do when they're not in charge and they see a way to solve the problem? They go create their own thing. Let's go, baby. Let's go do our own thing. Right. So that's where I think we're going. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're right there at that point where you and five colleagues go out and create. I like that word, create ECLI Vibes. I will tell you this before we go to break. I'm involved with the Kiwanis here up where I am, up in the Gold Coast, Nassau County. I think they call it the Gold Coast Kiwanis or North Shore Kiwanis. I think I'm in the Gold Coast Rotary and the North Shore Kiwanis. Either way, one of your colleagues came to a meeting that we had at the Kiwanis and talked about trafficking and how Long Island, there's so much, tragically, so much trafficking going on. And I'm compelled to just say, with your family background in the restaurant business and certain communities working in the restaurant business, often some folks are undocumented, et cetera, there's a lot of challenges that I think we can probably talk to that happens in that space. And it's not just undocumented, but it's just people who are vulnerable and vulnerable positions can be taken advantage of from a trafficking thing. Like I had, there's an organization I had on the show many years ago called I Empathize. And they have education videos and things like that for people who work in hotels, who work in a restaurant space, really any business, but educating people on what to look out for. So I imagine we're going to get into some of that today. But right now we're going to pause. We'll go to a quick break and I'm going to leave you all on the edge of your seats. So it's 2015 and my friend says, I can't get it all done here. So I'm going to go create my own. We'll be right back.
Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
I got a shout out to your mom and to your sister, right? And maybe there's another version of the song coming up, like a little mariachi type thing, right? Yeah. That would be fun. I don't know how to even go into the. So there's a guy I used to listen to called El General. And when I ask, and I ask.
Remember him?
Right? So I'll ask, like. So I ask Alexa, I'll say. So I don't have an Alexa in the attic, so it's all good. I can say her name. But like, I ask Alexa to play El General, and she'll go, okay. And she goes, music by El General. And I always think that's the funniest thing. Yeah. But gang, if you know the 90s, go back to El General. So we should have your sister maybe, and maybe they could do a tryout and try to sing a song, sing the Tommy D in the attic song.
Do it.
So I was sharing the website really quick. Folks, really, if you need different services, you feel like you're in any immediate danger and you're finding this show right now, they have a 24-hour hope line, which is 631-360-3606. And this would be for anybody who might be affected by human trafficking and or domestic violence, correct? These types of services.
Correct. Sexual assault, yeah. Any kind of domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, and child abuse.
Okay. So again, so that line again is 631-360-3606. Just let's say you came across this right now and you need services. That's the number you can reach out. All right. So let's get into what happens. So you're at this other organization. You realize you're sort of like, I'll say my words, like reach the limit. There's more you can do, but it's not going to work where you're at. So as I say, I kind of joked, but what do? We go out and we create our own. So what does that look like?
It looks like, it looks like you're crazy. I didn't think that we were crazy, but yeah. Now looking back, who did we think we were? We were in spaces that we did not belong in, but you know what? We did. And somehow, you know, I was blind to that, luckily.
Yeah,
and really? Sat in those spaces, had conversations with people I had no business having conversations with. You know, I found Ken Serini because I Googled nonprofit accounting. I was like, you know, we should probably figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
And I Googled nonprofit accounting and I was on the phone with him in 5 minutes. We hit it off and we've been doing business ever since, you know.
He is it. He's a very good friend, very good family friends. You know, Kelly Ann Serini. Kelly, we love you. We love all the work you're doing for us at the Nonprofit Resource Hub, at all the Imagine Awards in New York City and Long Island, and certainly the work you do for Serini and Associates. So they are great. So top notch. Shout out to you. Thanks for bringing that up. Were you already a nonprofit entity, a 501c3 at that point, or they helped you?
So we did that pretty quickly. You know, and I get a lot of questions. I have a TikTok and I talk a lot about, you know, mindset and not-for-profit work and things like that. And a lot of the questions I get are, well, how do I get my not-for-profit status? And I had an amazing co-founder. She was able to kind of put everything together, do all the research behind it, send in the tax paperwork. And within like a couple months, we had our tax ID number. We had our nonprofit status. It happened really quickly. And all the resources really are online. Everything is literally in your pocket. If you want to start something, you got to do some research and then you got to execute on it. You know, tune out that 80% of the noise. stay within that 20% signal and you'll get it done. And then you don't have to pay, you know, $5,000-$10,000 to get it going. And that's what we did because we had no money. So we had no other choice. We just didn't have any funding at all to do this.
Yeah. Quick plug. Got to shout out the Nonprofit Resource Hub. Again, go to nonprofitresourcehub.org. It's an organization that we founded. When I say we, my business partners at Vanguard Benefits, the team at Serini and Associates, David Goldstein from Sir Tillman Ballin, who runs a nonprofit governance practice there, and my friends Christine Deska and Frank Orzo from Nonprofit Sector Strategies. We are the leadership team from that organization. As I said, shout out again to Kelly and Serini, who and our executive director Allison LaFerlita, who really keep the Nonprofit Resource Hub moving and shaking and moving and grooving for sure. So check out Nonprofit Resource Hub and or reach out to me and I'll connect you. So look at this, like commercials all day long. This guy, I mean, I don't even have any sponsors. I'm like sponsor my own stuff.
Great.
But it's all about resources, all about the connections. So you get going, you kind of realize at one point, wow, maybe we don't know what we're doing, but we're going to figure this out for the greater good. What was the intention? What was the plan? Because there was ECLI and Vibes came together, right? Like Vibes was a different
word. Yeah, but that was a few years later.
So what happened in the beginning? Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, so from 2015 to 2018, we worked for free. We did not make any money. Anything that came in, any small contracts, went right back into the agency, you know, starting the website, purchasing different things that we needed to purchase. Like anything that we made went right back into the business. We didn't take any kind of payroll because we couldn't. And we knew that
That means everybody had to have another job, right? Because people have to like survive. Like all there was.
We all had partners, and okay. Luckily, like so, for the first 3 years, it was all on my husband. We shopped at the Dollar Tree, and that was it. Like you know,
listen,
anyway, I can explain it.
And first of all, thank you for explaining, and thank you for I would say sacrificing. You know, at that time, because you were doing what you had to do to kind of make it happen. But look, yo, anybody, don't hate on the Dollar Tree. I was in there last night. They got great candy. I love the candy out of the Dollar Tree.
I still go there.
The Dollar Tree. I can't pass a Dollar Tree without stopping by. And the candy, I mean, it is a dollar and a quarter.
Dollar Tree.
It's a dollar 25. Yeah, let's tell everybody, though, it's a dollar 25 tree. It's a little bit of a misnomer. If you don't know, you know. But if you know, you know. But I love the candy aisle. Anyway, back to the show, Tommy. But so you did, though. You grinded it out, you know. And shout out to my current friend, Met fan, Gabriel. What's up, brother? Thanks for the support. But again, like, it's that sort of stuff, like making it happen. You got to do that if you want it and you want to survive.
Scariest time in my life, but the universe rewards courage. And I truly see that now. You know, sometimes things are scary, but you got to keep showing up and you got to keep doing it. I just had my second son. We had purchased a house like just a couple, you know, it was not even a year in, it was 2 years in. And, you know, we were just trying to make ends meet. So it was a very scary time.
Yeah, but you did it, man. You took chances for the greater good, right? Like, you know, you saw an opportunity. What was it specifically, the need? Because if you go back to the roles you had in the past, was it the trafficking? Was it the DV stuff, the domestic violence? What was it that you saw and your team was like, where can we make this better and how can we serve more people? What was it that stood out?
So the gap was really just in making human services human. That was just in a nutshell. That's the best way that I can explain it, because the services, you know, are how do I put this? We wanted to make sure that the relationship that, you know, the service provider and the individual in need was at the forefront, right? Like they had to actually connect. They actually had to care about one another. And we had, you know, we had seen that sometimes that wasn't always the case in every organization, where you kind of get like, well, you can't go, you know, you can't cross the line. You can't hug a client. You can't tell them I love you. You can't tell them that you're worthy. You can't tell them these sort of things because it's not professional. Like you're supposed to give them some sort of, you know, RX to like fix the issue.
That's like archaic, because that's like the same thing when they say like, and in business, I posted a video about this and it was like, you know, like, at one point they told you like your clients are not supposed to be your friends and your friends are not supposed to be your clients and never these two things should meet. And it was like an old school thinking, but that's like, That's not humane. And treating people like a number, like you're talking about, where you say you wanted to make human services human, sounds like humanity. Sounds like we're trying to actually connect with another organic life form sitting across from us who needs compassion and love, right? That's what it sounds
like. Absolutely right. That's exactly what it was. And how do you put that? Like, there's so much that goes behind that. How do you kind of explain that to anybody when you're, you know, a couple of years in, you've got no money, nobody really believes in you yet. The only thing that you have is that you keep showing up and you keep talking to anybody who'll listen to you. And I realized really early on that I couldn't really convince people to understand what I was trying to say and what we were trying to do. So eventually I just let that go and just said, you know, I'm not going to keep trying to explain and convince people of why this matters. I'm just going to put my head down, do what we have to do, keep showing up. And at some point it's going to work. And that's what happened. That's literally what happened.
You were doing the work, right? You said, I'm going to do the work. And then it's going to the community will realize it when they do. And then
it will show for itself. And that's what happened. We made a great relationship over Suffolk County Police Department. And I always say this, you know, there are huge systems that are severely flawed, but within those systems, there are people who care. There are people who understand. There are people who want to see change just as badly as you do. And what we focused on is not changing these huge, big systems. And because if we did, we would just want to beat our heads into the ground all day long and get nowhere. What we did was we found those people within those systems who had the same values, who had the same understanding of the situations. And, you know, we built relationships with them. So we built relationships. One of my co-founders, she's just absolutely amazing. She is the relationship builder. She worked with one of the detective lieutenants and with one of the sergeants, and they were like, hey, we've got to like do something together. Like, we need to work with you guys and like figure out how to make this happen. We ended up writing a federal grant with one another. This was for anti-human trafficking, and we landed a $750,000 grant. And that's what got us off the ground in 2018. So from 2015 to 2018, we were just grinding. And 2018, we were able to finally, you know, receive a paycheck. We were finally able to hire ourselves and one staff member. And it all sort of started from there.
I love it. All right, let's take one last break because I want to come back. I want you to drive home the programs. I want you to drive home how we get involved. I want you to drive home. We talked about it. I wrote it down. Connections and cocktails. We'll talk about, you know, things like that are coming up. We'll talk about ways for the nonprofit sector connector to help, maybe through some relationships, et cetera. That's me. I'm the nonprofit sector connecting for everybody. Yeah. We will be right back.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
All right. Let's join me in the attic. You know, I missed some of the notes. I don't know who Levitate Life is, but whoever that is says that they can attest that you are a great dancer. So somebody.
That's my husband. That's Gabriel, the Mets fan.
That's my main. What up? I wasn't viewing the chats right. What's up, Gabriel? Let's go Mets again. Dude, this guy's getting more play than you and I are getting on the show. He's a little celebrity, man. So, all right, I just shared something while we were at break. Go to the website, gang, which is eclvibes.org, the way you think you spell vibes, but it's eclvibes.org. And I was just looking at the empowerment toolbox. There's so much still that we have to get into, so let's be quick. Here's the thing. There was vibes, victims, information, bureau, right? So what happened? When did you merge, and what was the reason that happened?
So in 2020, I was working with IGHL, who's a not-for-profit, also on Long Island, and they had Vibes was one of their umbrella organ. They were under like their the umbrella of their like larger organizations. Well, they have one large organization, and then they kind of have a bunch of other smaller not-for-profits underneath them. And it was just outside of their wheelhouse. And they had reached out to me. I had been talking to them about like some Medicaid stuff and, you know, meeting with their leadership and things like that. They were just a fantastic resource and ended up saying like, hey, any chance you want to take over Vibes? That's literally how it happened. There's this, you know, not-for-profit. It's very similar to what you guys are doing. I was like, yeah, we know Vibes. We literally had one of our first office spaces was in the Vibes building, which is kind of crazy. So
But I'm gonna disagree because you know it's not crazy. You're a person who's into the universe and connections. You knew exactly.
And you know it's not crazy.
Right, so looking back at you, of course we were there, and of course, right? So you know that's for those of again, if you know, you know, gang, the universe, the universal consciousness, we're all connected, right? You listen before the show starts. It talks about the universe and anyway, the music that plays before the show, gang. If you listen to talkradio.nyc, you know. All right. Stop talking and let Jennifer talk. So that connection happens in 2020, which is a wonderful time in history that we all might remember. So I want to get into the just like what that meant and then how programmatically how it all worked out.
Yeah. So what it meant for survivors was that they had greater access to services with the core values that ECLI, you know, has always held, which is client-centered, survivor-led, making sure that the client is in the lead of everything that we do, that survivors are advising what the programs look like because they're the ones who have been through these experiences. They understand what they could have used.
Survivor-led. Survivors are explaining. So to hit that one more time, just so they get that.
Yes. So we our organization is survivor-led. We have our survivor advisory board, which advises our programs.
Love that.
So yeah. This is something that's super important. Right now we have our IPV board and we have our anti-human trafficking SAB and our survivor advisory board SAB, and they advise the programs. So we know that we can go back and say, you know, does this work? Is this not working? And we're still figuring this all out.
Of course you are. We're always figuring.
We definitely don't have it, you know, down packed. But we know that it works. We just have to figure out how to administer it, I guess, more regularly and all those things. But it's happening. And we've seen how that informs the programs.
But I mean, it's like one of those, sorry to cut you off. It's like one of these obvious things. Like, this is the population we're serving. They know where we need to meet them. Why? Anything else, my opinion, is it would be arrogant. Like to just say, here, we know what it is. Unless everybody in the leadership team is a survivor and has experienced the same things. But why not? Cause like I was with Yolanda Rubano Gross again. We were out together last night. That organization serves 2,000 individuals here on Long Island every year, right? That's 2,000 different stories, 2,000 individuals, not a group of 2,000 people, 2,000 individuals. Like, I think that's what we have to remember, to meet people as they say where they are and find out what it is they need. And then, you know, the original name was Empowerment Collaborative, right? So it's an empowering these individuals to get the services they need so they grow, right? So they're more advanced, right? Isn't that what it's about?
Yes. And it's a collaborative, which is it's extremely important, because not one person can do all of this work. We all have to share the burden. We have to share the love. We have to share the excitement, the pain, you know? And there are people, I say, like, you might not ever walk through our doors, but we hope that you know that we exist, that we're here, and you're not the only one who's gone through this. You mentioned something earlier that really resonated with me, which was, you know, that you read a lot of books and that you were interested in like the audio books. And I was built off of books. You know, you don't have to fly blind. And I like to say that to a lot of people, because maybe you're not ready to walk in through our doors and receive our services, but there's so much out there. Yeah. It's just knowing that you know, being in that receiving mode.
So let me ask you this. So if somebody needs services, again, I said 631-360-3606, 631-360-3606. That is the HOPE line, 24/7 HOPE line. I love that, right? Not the hotline, not the helpline, the HOPE line. So really quick, just give me from top down in like 45 seconds services that the organization provides so we can get that in there.
Sure. So we have our advocacy services, so we can do legal support, whether it's just providing emotional support and walking you through a order of protection, walking you through child support or custody and things like that. We also have a legal team on staff. So if representation is needed, we have that available. We have counselors who can do, there's different support groups that we have available, individual support that we have available. We also have our sexual assault forensic examiner program. So if somebody has been sexually assaulted, we can provide a forensic exam. We also have our youth program, which, you know, connects youth to different resources. We take them out for different sort of, you know, fun outings, let them enjoy things. You were mentioning the DJ earlier, and a lot of our kids want to be DJs or VJs, and that's pretty cool.
Well, that sounds like a collab. That sounds like a collab with Building Beats out of New York City. We will make that connection for sure. Yes. So I get that. See, that's what a nonprofit sector connector does. Like, if you Google, don't Google it, because I don't think it's out there. But if you Google, what the heck does a nonprofit sector connector do? It would be that. So we got to just shout out the October 17th. I'm going to share my page again. We are out of time, which happens on the show. I never run out of words. We always run out of minutes. That should be the theme of the show. but it's not. It's called We Help Nonprofits Tell Their Story and Amplify Their Message. All right. The website, if you go to on October 17th, ECL Vibes has an event called Connections and Cocktails. You can go right to the website, which I will share right now. Give me 30 seconds on Connections and Cocktails, and then we got to go.
Yeah, so Connections and Cocktails is pretty new, but it's where we're connecting with our local community. You can walk in just, you know, if you're a business owner, you can walk in just as who you are, coming in, checking out. We'll give you a tour of the space if you like. You get to hear a little bit about what we're doing, what we're focusing on, you know, that quarter, what we've done in the last quarter, and really just connecting with people and, you know, seeing how we can support each other, how we can be of mutual support to each other. And you get to know a little bit about the organization.
I love it. I love it. Listen, and if you don't think you want to hang out with Jennifer, and I'm certainly going to be here on October 17th, and I don't know, but I think there's going to be some salsa music there. I don't know. I feel like there might be some
now
salsa.
There has to be.
Look at me go. Look at the time.
I'm dancing to that.
And then I put my hand on my belly and I do that whole thing. All right. He's out of his mind, folks. That's just a show. That's just what it is. All right, Jennifer, I appreciate you. Thanks so much for being my friend. Shout out to everybody who's checking in. This show is called Philanthropy in Focus. I'm called Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector. Make it a great day. Make it a great week. And I'll see you next Friday. This has been another In Focus production. See ya. Bye.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.